Hi, this is Hugh Cornwell, and welcome to this Mr. DeMille FM podcast. If you have any comments, suggestions, or simply want to get in touch, then please email info@mrdemillefm.com. This episode traces the career of Ingmar Bergman, world-renowned Swedish director. I hope you enjoy the show. Guilt, repression, family, conceit, vanity, freedom, loneliness, gaiety, abandon, love, hope, memory, shame. Ingmar Bergman managed to convey all of these vastly differing aspects of the human condition with the light touch of a master. No one else in Europe can hold a candle next to his achievements as a director, and over five decades he continued to astonish film audiences. He directed with dexterity, and at times you can see similarities to the Italian style of expressing time, place and emotion, as in the work of Fellini and Antonioni. One reviewer writes, "Watch Bergman's life's work and save yourself a bundle on film school." Bergman himself said, "No form of art goes beyond ordinary consciousness as film does, straight to our emotions, deep into the twilight of the soul." He was born in 1918, the son of a priest, in Uppsala, Sweden. When he was nine, he traded a set of tin soldiers for a magic lantern and created his own marionettes, scenery and lighting effects, with which he reenacted Strindberg plays. He went to Stockholm University to study art and literature, and whilst there became a movie addict. He got a job as a script doctor at the SF, Swedish film industry, at which point he wrote a screenplay of his own novel. It was called Torment, and he became the assistant director when it was filmed. In 1946, he directed his first feature, Crisis, in which he deals with the doomed destiny of human desire. Erland von Koch wrote the score, and here's the opening titles music. He continues in a similar vein in It Rains on Our Love, a tender love story about two people who meet at a train station and end up staying together. They soon discover each other's pasts and have to fight cruel and petty local bureaucracy in order to survive. In A Ship to India, his preoccupation with family relationships becomes clearer and the tensions that can develop from them. Erland von Koch worked on seven of his earlier films, and here's his opening titles music to another, Music in Darkness, from 1948.
Thank you.
In 1953, he made the stunning Summer with Monica, about two teenagers who meet whilst on holiday with their parents and fall into mutual desire. It was Harriet Anderson's debut role. Bergman had discovered her and written it especially for her. She became part of his actors' group and was in Sawdust and Tinsel the same year. Birger Blomdahl wrote the score, and that was the opening title's music. Harriet Anderson again excels as the naive young wife of the circus boss, who is much older than her, as she attracts the attentions of the clown. It was the first film Bergman worked on with Sven Nykvist, the cinematographer, and they came to have such an understanding over the years that they spoke only very briefly about shooting a scene. He made Dreams in 1955, which follows a photographer's shoot and the people who stumble into each other's lives because of it. The model rows with her boyfriend and wanders off to meet an older gentleman who invites her to his house. There are some wonderful comic moments between Anderson and Gunnar Bjornstrand in this film. Bergman often spoke of his admiration for Andrei Tarkovsky's work, and there are echoes of Tarkovsky in The Seventh Seal in 1957. It's a bleak vision of medieval Europe during the Black Plague, and death is everywhere, personified playing chess with the knight, Max von Sydow. It's the quintessential Bergman picture, with music by Erik Nordgren. This is Hasten Sitte I Trolldet. Hesten sitter i trädet och gal. Vägen är bred men porten smal. Den svarte dansar på stranden. Hönan jamar i mörkaste sjö. Dagen är röd. Men fisken död, den svarte hukar på stranden. Ormen flaxar i himmelens höjd. Oho! Oho! Jungfrun är blek, men musen nöjd.
nöjd. Den svalmen ränner på stranden. Bocken väser med tänderna två. Vish! Vish! Blåsten är tung och vågen slår. Den svarte mögar på stranden. Hästen sitter i trädet och gal. Vägen är bred men porten smal. Den svarte dansar på stranden. Hönan jamar i mörkaste sjö. Dagen är röd men fisken död. Den svarte hukar på stranden. Ormen flaxar i himmelens höjd. Jungfrun är blek men musen nöjd. Den svarte ränner på stranden. Suggan värper den så. Natten är sot och mörkret står. Den svarte stannar, 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 stannar på stranden.
It's said Bergman overcame his fear of death in making this film. He said, "When I was young, I was extremely scared of dying, but now I think it a very, very wise arrangement." The same year, 1957, he made another classic, Wild Strawberries, which Tarkovsky actually cited as one of his favourite films. An ageing professor takes a drive with his daughter-in-law from Stockholm down to the university town of Lund, where he collects an award. He spends the journey in reminiscences about his life and childhood. It was Victor Sjöström's final role as the professor. In The Silence, made in 1963, Bergman continued his obsession with family relationships. Two estranged sisters travel through a Central European country, one accompanied by her son. It caused a stir on release, as the censorship rules had just been changed in Sweden. The explicit sexual scenes it contained created a rush to the cinemas, and against all expectations, it was an international box office hit. It was described as an amalgam of loneliness and lust in America. This is Sing Baby Sing, written by Pollack and Yellen.
Thank you.
Persona was made in 1966. It's about a nurse and her care of a mute actress in a hospital. Their intense relationship leads to a certain character exchange, and both Bebe Anderson and Liv Ullmann are superb in their roles. Stunning visual imagery takes centre stage, and it was again cited by Tarkovsky as one of his favourite films. This is Bach's Adagio from Concerto No. 2. Cries and Whispers in 1972 dealt with the internal turmoil within three sisters, one of whom is dying, whilst the other two visit her. Harriet Anderson, Ingrid Tulin, and Liv Ullmann play the three sisters. It's a powerful film and well worth watching, bringing to the surface jealousy, mistrust, resentment, selfishness, and bitterness as only Bergman can. Here's Chopin's Mazurka in A minor, opus 17.
Thank you.
In 1976, Bergman was arrested on tax evasion charges to do with a Swiss bank account concerning the earnings from his film Persona and the payment of salaries on the film. He had a nervous breakdown as a result and suffered deep depression afterwards. He was acquitted later that year, but nevertheless he felt humiliated and left Sweden to live in Munich, where he remained for several years. He returned to Sweden in 1982 to make Fanny and Alexander, but then decided to direct in the theatre instead of making more films for the cinema. Fanny and Alexander is probably Bergman's masterpiece, pulling together all the elements he was to explore in his earlier films in a perfectly balanced way. It follows the trials of a Swedish family, the Ekdals, in the early 1900s, when the father dies, leaving a widow with two young children to bring up. She finds it difficult and remarries a draconian bishop who mentally terrorizes the children. It's based to a degree upon Bergman's own life history. Running over 3 hours long, it doesn't drag for 1 second and is sumptuously photographed by Sven Nykvist, of course. It was originally 5 hours and 48 minutes long, with 24 hours of footage and a 1,000-page script. Jan Malmsjö, who plays the evil Bishop Vergerus brilliantly, almost didn't get the part. It was written for Max von Sydow, but unbeknown to him, his agent asked for a percentage of the profits as well as a salary and was turned down. The film won no less than 4 Oscars and had 2 more nominations. This is the music from the trailer, Bach's Sonata for Flute. He underwent hip surgery in 2006, but made a difficult recovery and died in his sleep the following year, aged 89, on the island of Faro, where he had lived almost continuously since the 1960s, apart from the period of self-imposed exile in Munich. By coincidence, Michelangelo Antonioni died on the same day. Finally, I'd like to quote Bergman. He said, "I'm deeply fixated on my childhood. Some impressions are extremely vivid, light, smell and all. There are moments when I can wander through my childhood landscape, through rooms long ago, remember how they were furnished, where the pictures hung on the walls, the way the light fell. It's like a film, little scraps of a film, which I set running and which I can reconstruct to the last detail, except the smell." He also said, "To shoot a film is to organize an entire universe." And finally, "I hope I never get old so I get religious." He made over 60 films, and I've mentioned just a few of them. Ingmar Bergman, perhaps the greatest ever film director.